B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Lamed Gimel. We're going to start 14 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel, Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar. And here the Gemara is going back to something we learned on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, when we're learning about, in the Braisa, about Truma, if somebody ate, Yisrael who ate Truma on Pesach. And the Gemara says there, the Braisa says, B'me dvarim amurim b'mafrish Truma v'hichmitza. That this is all talking about where something was first made truma before it became chometz, and then it became chometz, and the Yisrael then ate this truma that was chometz on Pesach. Bamedvar mamurim b'mafrish truma v'hichmitza, or he made it truma after it became chometz, but he made it truma before Pesach. Aval mafrish trumas chometz, but if on the Pesach, in the middle of Pesach, you're trying to take truma, and the part of the fruit or vegetable or produce that you're taking truma from or with is actually chometz on Pesach, then divrei hakel einoi kedusha, then everybody agrees, that means all the opinions agree, there is no truma, there's no kedusha on this truma, and hence if Yisrael eats it, he is not in the bracket of a Yisrael that ate truma. Says the Gemara, Omar Mar b'medvar mamurim b'mafrish truma v'ichmitza, aval hifrish chometz truma, divrehakel eine kedusha. That's a quote from that braisa. Asks the Gemara, minoha nemili, what's the source, where in the pasuk do we have such a source that if somebody separates truma on Pesach, which is chometz, that it's not valid? And the Gemara is going to have a number of sources. The first one being Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Omar Kro, it says in the Pasuk, Reishis Degoncho Tiroishcho V'Yitzorecho, V'Reishis Geiz Tzoyncho, which is referring to Truma amongst others, Titein Loi, you've got to give it to the Kohen. When you're giving the Truma to the Kohen, it's got to be something that he's receiving in its full. V'Loi La'oiroi, it's got to be that it can serve his own personal needs, it's got to be Loi for him, and not just in order to get some light from it by being able to burn it. Which means that if this part of truma that he's taking now and wants to give to the Kohen, if when he's being mafrish it, it's tome, which and something which is tome is allowed to be burned and benefited from whilst burning, but is not allowed to be consumed, is not allowed to be eaten, even that is not considered a truma. Even more so chometz on Pesach, which is asur b'hanah, according to most opinions. So that's the source. Titein loy v'loy la'oyre, it's got to be completely even edible for the Kohen in order to become a valid truma. Asks the Gemara, Mosiv Rav Huna Bereidu Rav Yeshua, Ein toirmin min atrumen hatuma l'toira. We learnt in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that l'katchila, you should not, if you take a part of the fruits that are tome to make it truma for the part which is not tome. How does truma work? You have a whole pile, or you have a whole load of a whole big measure of fruits, vegetables, produce, according to the different halachas, and you take part of it off from this big measure, and that means the big measure, let's assume that it's been miruach, it's been piled and the pile's been smoothed, and it's now called tevel, and you're not allowed to eat it until you take truma. You take a part of it off, called truma. The rest is chulin, which anyone can eat. This part you take off, what happens if this part is tomei? The rest of it is tahir. So the Mishnah says you should not take the tomei part as truma in order that the tahir part will be the part that will be mutter, that will be regular, fixed, chulin, fit to be eaten by anybody. V'im toram b'shoigig, if however by mistake the person did take truma and it transpired that the part that he took was the tomei part, leaving the toher part to be chulin, trumasei truma, nonetheless the truma is valid. Asks the Gemara, according to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, who says that the reason that you're not allowed to take truma, chometz on Pesach, is because when you're taking the truma has to be valid to be eaten by the Kohen. Why don't you say that this truma part that you took, he's not allowed to eat it, the most he can do with it is burn it and benefit whilst he's burning it? According to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, we have a pasuk that says that this is not valid. Why does the Mishnah say that if you did it b'shoigeg, trumasei truma? Says the Gemara, Loi Kashi, it's not a question. Hosom hoiso loi shas hakosher. Hocha loi hoiso loi shas hakosher. The Gemara says that there's a fundamental difference between chometz on Pesach and truma tumea. Truma tumea, this produce that is tomei that you now took by mistake as truma, it was once not tomei. Since it was once not tomei, then even though it became tomei, so to speak, a blemish was clothed onto it, something happened to it, but in essence it was once okay. And therefore, b'di'eved, you can get away with it. Loi v'loi la'oira is talking for something that was never able to become a truma, and that is talking about m'chometz. M'chometz on Pesach never had any heter. And the Gemara explains, Deloi hoisoloi shas hakosher, heichadomi, in what case would we say that this produce, which is chometz, could never have been used for truma? In its whole history, it could never have been used for truma. Why is that true? Kegoin de'ichmitz b'mechubar. It was one of these rare occasions where the produce actually became chometz, the wheat kernels became chometz whilst they were still attached to the ground, and whilst some produce is attached to the ground, it cannot be used for truma. You can only take truma from something that's been detached from the ground. If it became chometz even before it became detached, then as soon as it became detached, it was already chometz, and it's Pesach, assuming that he detached it on Pesach. And therefore, it's never had a shas hakosher. These kernels, this wheat, was never able to be used for truma. Aval ichmitz betolush. If, however, the kernels of wheat only became chometz after he detached them from the ground, hochanami dekdusha, then even though they became chometz, you can take truma from them, no different to something that became tomei, that if you took them as truma, it would be valid. Omar Le'in, he said, yes, you're right, that indeed, if these wheat kernels became chometz after you detached them from the ground, then, and you took truma from them, it will be valid. B'gzeiras irin pisgoma, this matter was decreed by the angels, ubamamar kadishin she'ilta, and this ruling was by the word of holy ones, v'chein moirin b'bei medrasha kavosi, and in the Beis HaMedrash, that is indeed how they ruled the halacha. That when it says in the Braisa, b'medvar mamurin b'mafrish truma v'chmitza, that omen need truma, that became chometz after you made it truma, is actually becomes truma. I will hifrish chometz truma, but if when you took the truma, the wheat was already chometz, then divrei hakel ein kedusha, it's not got truma, is only true if it became chometz after, whilst it was attached to the ground. If, however, it became chometz after it was attached to the ground, then it would become truma. So that was the first version, that was according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, who says that the reason that making something truma of chometz is not valid in the Braisa is because it says titein loy v'loy l'oiroi. It has to at least be something that had a time where it could have been loy, it could have been given to the kohen to eat as well. Ki also Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua, and this is going to be another opinion. Rav Huna b'Rei d'Rav Yeshua says Omar. He says from a different pasuk. Omar kro. It says in the pasuk regarding truma. Reishis degon chotiroish chavitzarecha v'reishis gaze. It mentions their rachis de goncha, that and when it comes to truma, it's got to be a rachis, a start. That always means that there's a continuation, there's a remainder, there's something which is not rachis. So when it says that it's a rachis de goncha, that means that the rachis, the first part, you tithe, you take off a truma, give to the kohen, and the rest is fit for Yisrael. If, however, this whole produce here is chometz on Pesach, and you take part off and you want to make that truma, and the rest of it is not fit at all for the Yisrael, because the rest of it is chometz. The chometz is also banor for the Yisrael. If there's nothing left over for the Yisrael, then even the rachis of it does not become truma. Rachis you need sheshiyoreo nikorin liYisrael, that the remainder is distinguishable and usable and significant for a Yisrael, Yotz Zazusha, ain't she around the Korim? But here, when we're talking about Chometz on Pesach, where there's nothing significant left over for the Yisrael, then the Truma is not considered Truma. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rav Achar Bar Rav Avya Kameder Rav Chizda V'Yosef Omar Mishmeder Rav Yechanon. We're now going to have a dialogue between Rav Achar Bar Rav Avya and Rav Chizda, and this is going to be concerning another aspect we saw in the Braisa from Rav Akiva on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We saw on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph that Rav Akiva said that if a Yisrael eats Truma that was Chometz on Pesach, he's potter completely. Why? Because he hasn't taken anything from the Kohen. There's no value to this Truma. It's Chometz on Pesach. And even though we find that in certain cases, even like when the Kohen cannot eat the Truma, he can benefit from the Truma. For example, Truma Tameha. But that, at least he can have benefit from it. He can burn the Truma in his oven. He can heat it up. He can benefit from the Truma whilst he's disposing of it, whilst he's burning it. However, Chometz on Pesach is compared to Truma, which is Truma Tameah that you cannot eat, but it's not produce and things that are burnable. It's actually Tutim V'anovim. It's berries and grapes, which are liquids, and you cannot, if you've got Truma of liquids, then you cannot burn them. So if you have Truma Tameah, which is not burnable materials, then the Kohen has zero value from it. And Chometz on Pesach is the same as that. So since we saw in the Braisa there was a discussion about Truma Tameah, which was Tutim Va'anovim, berries and grapes, which are similar to liquids, they're damp, they're not burnable materials, then the Gemara is now going to have a discussion about Truma or about grapes and about grapes which are a tomei. Can they be squeezed and how can they be squeezed in order to draw out the wine from them without the wine becoming tomei? So says the Gemara, Rav Achar Bar Avya was sitting in front of Rav Chizda and said over in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Anovim shenitmu, if you have grapes that are tomei, Dorchon, he compressed them, pochis mikabitza, V'yeinom kosher l'nesachim, and the wine that comes out of them will even be kosher to be used on the mizbeach, to be used for the nisuch hayayin, which went along with the korbonos. They would pour some wine, and it was even fit for the mizbeach. Why? Because we know that food items, in order to make something else tomei, for grapes to make wine, to make the wine tomei, it must be that the grapes themselves have the measure of a kebetza, and this is learnt out from Psukim. And since if you have grapes that are less than a kebetza, even though the grapes are tomei, they will not make the wine tomei when the wine which comes out of the grapes will touch those grapes. And we obviously take for granted that the fact that the grapes themselves are tomei is not the reason to say that the wine, the juices inside the grapes, are already tomei. No, we say that the grape is tomei, but the juices inside them are not tomei. And when they leave the grapes, they are now able to become tomei because they're touching the grapes. But that's providing the grapes are a large enough measure that they can actually make something else tomei, and that's a kebetza. And that is what Rabbi Yochanan said, that if you squeeze these grapes and the grapes are less than a kebetza of size, then the wine squeezed out, it remains toher. Alma, what do we see from there? That Kosova that Rabbi Yochanan holds, mashkin mifkad pkidi, that the juices of the grapes are not considered as if they're absorbed in the grapes and part and parcel of the grape, and if the grape is tomei, of course the juices are tomei as well. No, we say that the grapes are merely contained in the grapes, and for whatever reason that Rashi tries to discuss a little bit, but since they are not the grape themselves, they're only contained in the grapes themselves do not make them tomei yet, because the grape will only make them tomei once they actually receive their own identity, and that's once they leave the grapes. But whilst they're inside the grape, then they are considered part of the grape, in as much as we don't say the grape is touching the juices. It's just that the juices are hiding inside the grape, and only once the juices leave, then we say that the juices are touching the grape. But by that time, if the grapes are less than a kebetza, there's not enough measure in the grapes to make the juices tomei. That's the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, that mashkin mifkat pkidi, the juices inside the grapes are just considered as contained in the grapes, not absorbed in the grapes. Le'imus koma tami. So when would they become tami? Le'sichot le'chisachit lu. Only when you squeeze the juices out of the grapes. Le'chisachit lu. As when you are squeezing the juice out of the grapes. Le'isu le'shiura. The grapes are not enough measure to make the juices tami. Asks the Gemara, Ihachi, why did Rabbi Yochanan say that Dorchon pochis mikabetza, make sure that the grapes are less than a kabetza in measure? Even if the grapes are exactly a kabetza, it would also be okay because as soon as the first drop is taken out, there's already less than a kabetza left in the grapes, and then they will not be able to make this drop become tomi. Ihacha bekabetza nami. Why do you, Rabbi Yochanan, say you should squeeze and press these grapes only if they are less than a kabetza? Dotnan, did we not see in the Mishnah that tomei meis, if somebody who touched a dead person, and Rashi says for that matter, it's any av hatuma that is only metame by touch, not by moving, because somebody who makes things tomei by moving, things are going to be very different here. But somebody who is a tomei meis, who makes things tomei by touching them, shesochat zeisim vanovim, and this tomei meis, he squeezed either olives or grapes, kebetza mochuvenes, exactly the size of a kebetza, tohirim, then they are tohir, because the juices coming out of the grapes are only going to become tomei when they touch the grapes, and when they touch the grapes are not anymore going to be the size of a kabetza, because they were a kabetza before they were squeezed. So you see clearly there that even though in the Mishnah they're speaking about zeisim va'anovim kabetza, exactly a kabetza, then the juices that were squeezed out are tohir. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say that you should use grapes that are less than a kabetza? Answers the Gemara, Hossam, in that Mishnah, the I'ovad is talking about if you did it, and the grapes were exactly a kibetza, you're right, the juices are still tohir. Hocha, however, in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, lekatchila, when somebody comes to ask, what should we do, don't tell him, take grapes exactly a kibetza, because you're taking a risk. Gezeira dilma osi lemevad yetza mikibetza. Maybe you're going to take grapes that are a little bit more than a kibetza. We're talking about a fraction of a size, a little bit more than a kibetza. And then when the first drop gets squeezed out, the grapes still have a kibetza, and they will then be able to make this drop tomei. Once this drop is tomei, all the other drops will become tomei from it. That's why Rabbi Yochanan said, be on the safe side and make sure there's less than a kabetza in the grapes. Omar le Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said to Rav Acha bar Ivya, let's remember, it was Rav Acha bar Ivya talking to Rav Chisda, saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe. So Rav Chisda said back to Rav Acha bar Ivya, man tzayis lecho, who's going to listen to you, Rav Acha bar Ivya? Bar Rav Ivya, Ul Rabbi Yochanan Rabach, and to what you're saying in the name of your Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan, that you said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that these juices are just considered as contained in the grapes and therefore do not become tomei when the grapes themselves are tomei. V'chitumah shebohen leichan holcha. These grapes were tomei. Now you are removing the juice from the grapes. Then where's the tumah gone from these juices? These juices were part of the grape. They were tomei. Alma Kosova, we see from here that Rav Chisda holds that, not like Rav Yochanan, he holds Mashkin, that the juices inside the grapes, they are not Mifkat Pkidi, just contained in the grapes, rather Mivla Bli'i, they are absorbed in the grapes. He holds that when the grape becomes Tomei, the juices also become Tomei, and then once the juices are Tomei, it doesn't help to squeeze them. V'kiven de'itmile Uchla, itmile Mashkin, as soon as the grapes, which is a food state, becomes tomei, the liquids which are absorbed inside them become tomei at the same time. Omar le. So now Rav Acha responded back to Rav Chisda, Va'at le tizbura de mashkin mifkat pkidi? Are you arguing with me and with what I said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that the juices are just contained in the grapes, and you're saying they're actually absorbed in the grape and part of the grape? How are you learning the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Votnan, Tomei meis shesochat zeisim va'anovim. If a person who was an avatome, he touched a mace, and he's squeezing the grapes, and the grapes are exactly mechuvenes kebetza, exactly a betza size, tohirin, that the juices that are coming out of these grapes are tohir. So I omres b'shleima mifkat pkidi, if you hold like me, Rabbi Acha bar Rav Ivya, and my Rebbe Rabbi Yechanon, that the juices are just contained inside the grapes, mifkat pkidi, mishum hocha tahirim. That's why I can understand the juices are tahir. Because as soon as they became out, they were squeezed out of the grapes were no longer the right size. Eloi omres mivle bli, according to Rav Chisda, that you say that if the grape is tomei, the juices are tomei with them, amai tohirim. Why should the fact that this tomei may squeeze them make the juices tohir? And this is an explicit Mishnah. How are you, Rav Chisda, going to learn this Mishnah? Omar Le, Rav Chisda explained the Mishnah differently. He said, Hocha b'may oskinon, we're not talking about tomei grapes and discussing whether the juices that came out of them are tomei. Of course they're tomei. We're talking here about grapes that were not yet tomei. We know that in order for fruits and other food items to become tomei, they have to before that have been touched by a liquid, by one of the seven liquids. And these grapes, even though the tomei mace is touching them, since these grapes have never been damped, have never been wetted by any of these seven liquids, even though the tomei mace is touching them, the grapes remain tohir. When are they going to become susceptible to becoming tumah? When liquids touch them. One of the liquids is yayin, is wine. Le'emus miskashri. When are they going to be susceptible to become tomei? L'chisochit lehu. Only when they get squeezed and some of the juices come out and those juices are touching the grapes. Now the grapes are able to become tomei. Kisochit lehu, botzel lehu shiura. And when you squeeze it, the grapes are not anymore the size of a kibetza. And since the grapes are not the size of a kibetza, then they themselves will not become tomei. Rashi says that even lekabel tumah, for solids, for food items to become tomei, they have to be the size of a kibetza. Not only does something tomei have to be the size of a kibetza to make something else tomei, they themselves have to be a kibetza to become tomei. And this is a very big discussion. Rashi starts off saying that there are opinions who say that it does not have to be tomei. But from the Gemara here is apparent, and that's how Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos understood, it's apparent from here in this Gemara that to become tomei, it has to be a kibetza. And since, and that's what the Mishnah says, if these grapes were exactly a kibetza before they were squeezed, then as soon as they're squeezed, they're not anymore kibetza. So even though the juices coming out of them are touching them, and the grapes are now susceptible to becoming tomei, as far as that's concerned, but they're not big enough to become tomei, and therefore the grapes and the juices remain tohir. Because if you're not going to say like Rav Chisda say, that juices are considered as absorbed in the fruits, and you're going to say it's just considered as if they're contained in the fruits, how do Tanya, how are you going to learn the following brisa? And this is the brisa that we started with. Rabbi Akiva said this, that if you've got truma, which is truma tamea, which is of berries, olives, or grapes, shenitma, that they became tomei, that Rabbi Akiva said, she'ein lo yibo, lo yheter achila, v'lo yheter asoka. Rabbi Akiva compared it to chometz on Pesach, that the Kohen cannot eat it, and even though as far as Hilchas Tumah is concerned, he would be allowed to burn it, but you cannot burn these fruits because they are wet. They're not burnable, you can't burn grapes. And therefore, they have no hanor, and therefore Rabbi Akiva says, you've not taken anything from the Kohen, and therefore you do not need to pay anything back to the Kohen. So it says with Chisda that how are you going to understand Rabbi Akiva? Ho heter achila nami izbe. You're talking here about grapes that are tomei, and you're saying that the Kohen's got no benefit from it because you're not allowed to eat it because it's tomei. You cannot burn it because they're grapes. But I don't understand, says Rav Chisda. According to you, Rabbi Acha bar Rav Ivya and your Rebbe Rabbi Yechanan, di'i boya dorich lehu. Tell the Kohen that he should press these grapes, pochis pochis mikabetza, each time less than a kibetza, and then the juices coming out of them are going to be tohir. So you have taken something from the Kohen if you were to eat these grapes, for, even though they're truma tumea, but you have taken something from the Kohen. You've taken away from him the wine that could have been pressed out of them, that would be tohir, according to you, Rabbi Acha, and your Rebbe, Rabbi Yechanan. Says the Gemara, no. Omar Rava, Rava answers as follows. The truth is, according to Rabbi Acha and Rabbi Yechanan, you're right. These grapes, they do have some value in as much as potentially, or at least biblically, they should have been allowed to be pressed, and the Kohen would have had some benefit from it, and the Yisrael took it away from him. However, Rava says, nonetheless, the Braisa is right, because that there's no use whatsoever for the Kohen. Why? Gezeira dilma osi behu l'day takola. That these grapes, we're not allowing the Kohen to keep these grapes in order to squeeze them, because he may come in the meantime to eat the grapes. And since he might come to eat the grapes, and you're not allowed to eat the grapes, they're truma tameya. And therefore the Chachomim said, don't even squeeze these grapes. So Rabbi Akiva was right, that there's no heter, there's no benefit for the Kohen. Omar le Abaye. Abaye said to Rava, you Rava are saying that the reason that if you have truma tameya of grapes, you're not even allowed to squeeze them because in the meantime you may come to eat them. There may be some mishap, some takola, something negative is going to come of this. Umichai shinon l'takola. Do you indeed take these precautions and you're worried for a takola that somebody's going to eat this truma tameya in the process? Vatanya, this seems to oppose something we learned in a brisa. Madlikin bepas ubashemen shel truma shenitmeis. If you have truma tameya, then you're not allowed to eat them, but as we said before, you're allowed to burn them. So if you have bread or oil that's truma, you're allowed to burn them. And even though the process of burning all that bread or all that oil may well take some time. And in the meantime, somebody's going to come and eat this bread, or someone's going to taste from this oil. It's truma tameya. According to Yerova, how are you allowed to burn? How are you allowed to keep the bread and oil of truma tameya in your possessions in order to burn them? There might be a takola. Omar le. So Rava said back to Abaya, I'll tell you why. Over there we're talking about bread, it's truma tameya, and it's true that it may take some time till I finish burning it, but in the meantime I've taken precautions to make sure that nobody would eat that bread. What have I done? Pas zorik lebeina eitzim, I've thrown it between the woods, it's become dirty and repulsed, and nobody would want to eat that bread. What about the oil? Shemen shel truma, romile, I put them beklimos in a dirty, repulsive vessel, utensil, and therefore nobody would come to eat it. However, the grapes that Rabbi Akiva was talking about, or the berries, they are edible. And if you're going to wait until this Kohen presses them, he may by mistake come to eat them and there'll be a takola. Continues the Gemara on this theme of Abaya. Gufa, madlikin bepasu b'shemen shel truma shenitma. We just saw now in this braisa that one is allowed to, a Kohen who has truma tameya of bread or oil is allowed to keep them and burn them. Abaye Omar Mishmei Dechizkia, Verova Omar Debeir Bitzchok Barmar to Omar Ravuna, that it was said in the name of Chizkia and in the name of Ravuna, Lo Yishonu Elo Pas, this is only true with bread or with oil, as we discussed before, that you can put them in a place that will make them dirty, make them repulsive, and then nobody will want to eat them, there's no takola. Aval chiti, but if you have kernels of wheat, loy, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to hold them in your possession until you burn them, you may come to eat them. Shema yovoy beheni de takola, because a takola, something bad, a mishap could happen, and you could end up eating from these kernels whilst in the process, either in the process of burning them or whilst waiting for them to be burnt. This is a discussion we had on Daf Chof already, whether if it's just a very short amount of time, there's also a takola or not, is something the Rishonim discuss here. But that was the opinion of Rav Huna, and in the name of Chizkia. But Rabbi Yechanan Omar afilu chiti. Rabbi Yechanan argues with Rav Huna and says, even wheat kernels, you're allowed to keep them and burn them. And we're not worried that you're going to eat from them in the meantime. Asks the Gemara of Amai, Neichash Dilma Osi Benedei Takola. Why are you, Rabbi Yechanan, not concerned that in the meantime he's going to eat from these kernels that are truma tameya, and you're not allowed to eat truma tameya? Answers the Gemara, Kada Omer Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said elsewhere, we'll soon see where, but Rav Ashi said elsewhere that certain halachas that are spoken about kernels of wheat are talking about b'shlikta u'me'ista. We're talking about that these kernels were cooked and very cooked, they were boiled, and after they were boiled, they've already been damped and cooked and softened, they were then thrown between the woods, and therefore they are ma'os, nobody would come to eat them. And that's what, and only in that case, Rabbi Yochanan says that those chitim, there's no risk of takola. Rav Huna, who argues and says that by chitim, you're not allowed to keep these chitim in order to burn them. Rashi explains, Rav Huna is concerned that before you actually do this whole process, and whilst you're doing this process of boiling the wheat kernels, you may come to eat them, and therefore, even there could be a takola, and therefore you should not do that. So in the same way as Rav Ashi said in that other place that Beshlikta Umeista, Hochanam is so too says Rav Yechanan Beshlikta Umeista. Asks the Gemara of Aheche Itmer de Rav Ashi, where is this Rav Ashi, in which context did Rav Ashi say this concept of wheat kernels that were used were referring to wheat kernels that have become boiled and then dirtied? Ahod Omer B'Ovin Barav Acha Omer B'Yitzchak. Abba Shol Gabal Shel Beis Rebbe Hoyo. He was used to kneading the dough in the home of Rebbe. V'hoyu mechammin lo yechammin b'chitin shel truma tamea. In the home of Rebbe, they would buy truma tamea very cheap from the Kohanim, and then they would be allowed to, not chas v'shalom eat it, but they would be allowed to burn it and use the heat of the flames whilst burning these wheat kernels. Lolosh ben Issa. And he would heat up the water in order to knead the dough. But Rebbe was very makbid only to eat food that was completely tahir. And since these wheat kernels, they were not anymore, Rashi says, there was no risk of the kernels themselves making the water tummy. But the question was that why are we not afraid that somebody is going to eat these kernels in the process? Amai nechosh dilma osubhura de takola. Answers the Rav Gemara, this is where Rav Ashi said, Omer Rav Ashi b'shlikto me'ista, that before the Beis Rebbe would actually use these kernels and heat up water for the dough by burning these kernels of wheat, they would first boil them and then they would dirty them, and that way nobody would come to eat them by mistake. And therefore, it was okay, there was no chashash takola. And based on this Rav Ashi, Rabbi Yochanan said before that even with chitim, if you have chitim of truma tumea, you're allowed to burn them and have hanah from, and even a kohen is allowed to have hanah from these kernels, and we're not afraid he's going to come to eat them. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.